Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Best Ever You Show with your host, Elizabeth Hamilton Garino, CEO and founder of the Best Ever You Network, and Dr. Katie Eastman. The Best Ever You Show is here to help you live your life to the fullest. How? Real people, including celebrities, real advice, real places, products, and businesses, real life stories, with this radio show, printed magazine, websites, community, and more. And now, here are your hosts, Elizabeth and Katie.
Oh, I'm not going in on this show by myself. Katie, I'm pulling you right in, right from the get-go. And Randy, I'm pulling you in, too. Hello, everybody.
Hello.
Welcome.
Good morning.
Welcome to the Best Ever You Show, to everyone listening, and just a special shout-out to Blog Talk Radio, to just thanking them for supporting our departure from our regular show format to bring you kind of a commentary show, right, Randy? I mean, when we were thinking about doing this show, we were kind of all over the place at first. You want to talk a little bit about the show?
I think during a conversation we were talking about your book and, you know, that you have coming out, and about how your point of view is, you know, somewhat more of a real person, and how TV, sometimes people turn to, what's Dr. Phil telling me to do, and what are various, you know, results from these shows that people really get invested in. And we were just kind of talking about how, I mean, look, I have a whole thing about the entertainment industry, obviously being in it. I work in the entertainment business. And, it's like I find that sometimes the advice that's given on these shows is not inclusive of people like myself. Like I'm divorced and fine with it. I don't want to have kids and I'm fine with it. And I want to have a career and I'm fine with it. But a lot of the advice that gets thrown around is about, you know, you need to be a family person. And yeah. I think that there's some stuff that we were just talking about, how you have, you know, a viewpoint from being a mom of four, and me coming from my standpoint, and just the sensationalism of entertainment. Yeah. And then, of course, there's just the whole drama that comes with everything entertainment-oriented. Why are they breaking up? I have to know. So yeah. That kind of stuff. And we just thought that this would be a great show to do, and because people are so influenced by it. And,
well,
of course, Katie.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's really important to know that this is not meant to judge or criticize. We aren't here to tell you you're wrong or bad or right or anything.
Is this your legal disclaimer for the show?
Yes, yeah,
right,
a little disclaimer.
Right.
Go, Katie. You can take that one.
Well, really what the show's about is we're curious. We're asking questions about why. And from a therapist's point of view, I am just absolutely fascinated by this topic because, you know, Randy, your comment about Dr. Phil and your advice and certain advice from different people on the air, there is absolutely no advice that fits for everybody, and it's really important for people to see advice through their own lens and understand it, make choices that work for them. And really what a lot of people don't understand is on air, he's got therapists behind the scenes who, after the fact, meet with the person and personalize that advice.
Right.
So a lot of people don't know what goes on behind the scenes. And, Randy, you probably know a lot more about what goes on behind the scenes.
Well, from the production standpoint of some of these shows, yes. I mean, there are teams of people, you know, that work on this stuff. But the stuff that doesn't happen behind the scenes and the stuff that gets put in front of our faces, with the way that media is today, and especially with social media, where everybody gets on Twitter now, and it's like, did you see what happened to Rihanna? And it takes on a life of its own. But I think it takes on a life of its own because the media is now putting in front of you the drama that doesn't even exist per se. Like, I get fascinated. I know, Katie, you're like on these Entertainment Tonight type shows, and I think you're kind of just like, I love it. And Elizabeth, what, you're like, please, can you not talk about it? But it's like, why are all the headlines in the news, you know, the whole see-through yoga pants are being taken off the shelves? It's these headlines of things like Justin Bieber took his shirt off. Oh, and by the way, the president has gone to Israel. It's like, why are we putting these things, you know, with such importance beforehand? People just get absorbed in it, and it's just creating a world of I think, insensitivity to what's real.
Well, you know what I like about this having a show in this format is I was really able to include my family in this. I said, guys, I'll – you know, I had my husband and four boys and said, you know, we're going to do this show. Let me read you the show description, kind of where we're going with it. What do you think? What are some of the shows you watch? Why do you watch them? And I think that could be a really good takeaway from listening to us for an hour. You know, maybe think about it. Maybe just stop, pause, and think about what you're watching and why you're watching it.
Absolutely. And you know what, Randy, when you brought this topic up to us, I really had fun sitting back and saying, okay, why do I like to watch these entertainment shows, and what am I saying to myself about what I value? Because where you put your energy is what you create. And I had to really think about that, and it's like I do mute the gossip part of those shows. I just mute it. I don't listen to that stuff. But what I love is the fashion. I love the fashion. Yeah, I know. Sure.
You're
well,
right.
I don't care, but I do listen to, I like to know what the new movies are. I love the fashion, but there is a part of me, absolutely, probably like a lot of people, who wonder what it would be like to be glamorous.
You know, and why do we feel, Randy, like we know these people? Why is that so, like, did you hear about blah, blah, blah? Wow, I can't believe they're getting a divorce or they separated. Really?
Right.
You know, why do I don't even know them?
Well, the world of celebrity is completely generated by the press. I mean, that's just what it's all about. And the minute that the press isn't talking about somebody, that means that there's a problem. But what happens is fans identify with people in one way or another. They enjoy hating them, a person, or they enjoy, you know, loving a person. They feel somewhat connected. And what's interesting is certain celebrities open themselves up to be more accessible. You know, sometimes they'll be very communicative on social media, or some of them don't. I mean, there's accounts that you know that you could see, because it's all over the news, that Justin Bieber probably tweets his own tweets. People like Rihanna, people, you know, these are people who are on them themselves, and they're actually, like, connecting personally. But then you've got some celebrity accounts that they're handled by a team of people, and it's never going to be that person tweeting. I mean, I represent Frank Stallone. He's very insistent on it being himself, and it should be. He's an incredibly personable guy, and you know that when you hear from him online, you're hearing from him. But what happens then is people automatically feel that they're being spoken to directly. And I don't know, Katie, you tell me. That's a whole, I think, sometimes. Let's see if we're crossing the line with the
lead. Yeah. Stalkers are a whole level of, you know, that's a whole nother show. But to an extent, when people become connected to someone in the media in a way that they personalize them and they watch them consistently and they become a part of your life, then you got to ask yourself why. And sometimes that's because you're rooting for them. Sometimes it's because they're doing something that's in your life. Like, I know a lot of people who, when Robert Downey Jr. was fighting his alcoholism, and bless his heart, he got there, a lot of people were rooting for him because of their own. And that's something that happens a lot, is when someone has an issue and someone else has an issue depicted in the media, then they watch because it gives them hope.
I keep seeing Lindsay Lohan's face on everything right now. Why is that I don't get why that's in the news.
Why is that the headline?
That's what I mean.
Geez, if I didn't see enough now. Okay, we all know Tiger Woods is in a relationship. Congratulations. But then, you know, it makes, I think, average people kind of go, huh, let's see. Is he going to turn out to be a cheater on her like he was on the wife? And that's where people translate stuff, I think, into their lives now. Trying to identify with these self-aggrandized, glamorized, and dramatized stories and how people are relating to them. Because I think what it does now, I mean, I do it. I love a couple of shows on TV. Like, I'm a huge Scandal fan. Huge. One of my favorite shows. I wish I could be the character of Olivia Pope. And she's having an affair with the president. So, you know, that's really Right now, I would take an affair with a student body president. But I'm just saying, I absolutely, I love the show. I love the character. And again, though, I work in Hollywood, so it's kind of crazy because I know, you know, it's all a fantasy world. But these stories that are out there and the entertainment shows that perpetuate it as headline news, like as if it's hardcore headline news. Does that, I mean, Katie, from your standpoint, is that where people are trying to get self-verified by going, oh, okay, well, at least I'm not that bad? Or
we talked
you know,
about that.
You know, we all have.
About that.
Oh, yeah, really. I mean, we all have a need to be a part of a community, to feel like we're seen and heard and that we matter, that we're valued, that there's something right about us. And what the media is really good at is playing on our insecurities and our fears.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of times what we're responding to is what we're afraid of. So we watch stuff sometimes because it's like, wow, you know, I'm afraid I'm a little bit like that. And I'm a little intrigued in that. I'm gonna dip into my dark side here and look at that. And well, a lot of it's subconscious, but some of it is really conscious. Some of it is, you know, I just want to be like that. And like you said, Randy, you know, the show Scandal, she's a very powerful woman. She's a woman in power. And affairs are all about power.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think a lot of times much of why we watch is subconscious. We're not conscious of it. And I'm now, because of this show, asking my question about, well, what do I value
I'm
with my time?
I'm under a rock here. I mean, I have not seen or heard of that show. So now I have to go like Googling and watching to join
well,
the conversation. I mean, I get the point of it, but like, you know, I asked like 10 people, have you ever heard of this show? And everyone said no.
Well, it's one of the top shows on ABC.
On TV?
Maybe we're just not watching
it's
that.
It's so well written. I mean, it's just so well written. I happen to love the show, but what's interesting about a show like that, you've got a couple shows that are like Scandal, Revenge.
Right.
These are shows that have female lead characters that are kind of being bad and where being bad is good. And I think that's where it's been interesting with programming these days as to how the dynamic shifts as to what's acceptable on television relationships and television shows. Does that make it acceptable in one's own life? Because if you, you know, think back to programming in the old days, you never even heard the word drugs on TV.
Well, I was just talking to my mom before we went on air, and my mom is 70, and she said, my goodness gracious, the stuff they have on, you know, TV these days, you know, she was like, my mother would freak out if, you know, she saw TV right now. I mean, it's so, where are there supposed to be boundaries? Are there rules? Are there swearing rules? Does it all go off at 10 o'clock, and after 10 o'clock anything's free game? Or how does that work on TV right now? And
no, it's not even 10 o'clock anymore.
TV and cable, what's the difference there? Like if you're on your regular ABC, NBC, CBS, what's the difference between the programming that's going on there and the programming that's going on cable? Because I remember when I was a kid, it was like, you know, you had your soap operas, you might have had a talk show here and there, you had your nightly news, and then you had, like, Dallas.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and that was kind of it, and maybe, like, you know, and that's dating me, I'm 44 years old, but then you'd have a late night, you know, Johnny Carson going on, and we were asleep by then because, you know, school the next day. But now it's 24/7.
Yeah, and what's happened is, you know, with cable, like, the FX channel, FX, USA, AMC, these channels that are really programming against HBO and Showtime and are giving them kind of a run for their money. These shows are raising the bar, I think, for the quality of television. I'm a huge fan of scripted material. I love scripted drama. I love scripted comedy. I don't know if you guys watch Californication or House of Lies on Showtime. Either one of you watch that?
No. Game of Thrones.
I've watched them. I've watched them both, yeah.
Right.
Game of Thrones is a huge show.
But these shows, they get really, really, really raw. And those are the pay cable channels, Showtime and HBO are pay. If you look at Breaking Bad, which is just a phenomenal show, the violence level, the drugs, all that, I mean, that is that's also why it's on cable. But when you go to broadcast TV, at the 8 o'clock hour, the references to sexual innuendos, the words that are being used, I mean, it has changed. And I think what's changed is not only just the use of it, but our sensitivity to it is just completely gone. And then you're pushing the envelope, I think, with some of these subject matters. I mean, I am fascinated. Seriously, like, Scandal's one of my favorite shows.
I'll have to watch that. Maybe I'll be hooked.
It's so good. And let me just tell you something. You got to really be prepared to watch it because some of the scenes are like, I need a cigarette after, and I don't smoke. But what it does is, because I have a lot of friends who love the show, and I also have a lot of friends who hate the show. And they hate the show because they say, well, it's ridiculous. It's glamorizing marital affairs. And she's having an affair with the president, and the president's in love with her, but he's got a pregnant wife. And it lends to those conversations.
You learn when you've been around the block as a therapist as long as I have not to judge, because if you started judging, you'd be out of business in 2 seconds, because everybody's got different values.
Right.
And everybody's complex. And, you know, affairs are complex. They happen, and all kinds of things happen. And one of the things, the good points of what you're saying is, these TV shows show you the complexity of real life.
Mm-hmm.
Those things are happening.
But then what you have these shows with the relationship shows that come on. I mean, if you really go back, and this is, do you remember the book The Rules?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Remember when that came out and every woman who was like nearing 30 and wasn't married was a Bible. This book was the way to get a guy. And everything became about the way to get a guy. And Greg Behrendt, who is such a great comedian and writer, you know, he had a book, He's Just Not That Into You, and then there was the movie. And everybody turns to these people like this is now the golden rules of how to get men. I mean, look, Steve Harvey has a book. It's called Act Like a Lady, Think Like a Man, or Think Like a Man, Act Like a Lady.
Yeah,
and he's got a talk show, and his whole thing is about how to tell, like telling women, look, this is why you're not getting a guy. If your guy does this, this is how you have to respond. And I think I don't know if you guys have watched the show, but I watched it.
You know what
today.
I did? I did today. I did not watch the show. I did go to his Twitter feed, though,
mm-hmm.
to just see what was, you know, coming on the show or what he was talking about and so forth, and he seems like an overall pretty good guy.
Yeah, and what he brings to the mix, and this is what I think is interesting, the way that television and personalities are as insofar as who is giving the advice and why people follow it so closely. Someone like Steve Harvey, you know, okay, look, he's a guy. He obviously knows. He does have, in my opinion, I think he has some good insight. He does a lot of stuff on his show that helps, I think, women elevate their own self-respect. Like, he had a girl on the other day that he just ripped on her for being basically just stupid to allow some guy to walk all over her. And he flat out was like, well, you're dumb for letting that happen. These shows and the advice, I mean, I can't tell you, sometimes I watch and get frustrated because, look, I was married. I was married for only 3 years. I married a good guy. I divorced a good guy. And there's nothing to it. I'm not one of these people who's like, I'm, you know, over 40 and divorced, and I'm okay with it. I don't have kids, and I'm okay with it. All this stuff that comes at me on TV sometimes, and the advice that I hear being given to people on shows about relationships is, well, if you're not getting married and having kids, then you're not doing your job as a woman. And that's where I feel there's a big void sometimes in the media, because I think there's a lot of women like me.
I think the one thing I wanted to say there is it's almost like take what you need, sort of, you know, take what you need or take what you want to listen to and take what applies and leave all the rest behind. And if it doesn't apply to you, then, you know, so be it. Maybe that advice helped somebody. Do you think that's possible, Katie, that maybe that advice might have reached someone somewhere? I mean, it might just not be advice for all.
Absolutely, and I think if people could be really understanding that there is no silver bullet for any of us. There's no quick fix. There's no, if you do this, this will happen. If you do this, this will happen. It's like we're all complex. And I love that Entertainment Tonight did something on miscarriage the other night. It really is all about filtering through what gives you goodness and what doesn't.
I have so many sisters and a couple, and you know, I have a lot of siblings, and a couple of my family members can't have kids. And, you know, it's all over the place. If you sat my family in front of that show, there would be, you know, 14 different reactions going on to that advice. I wonder, is he, Randy, taking a position of you must do this, everybody?
No, and I think that people like Steve and Greg Barron and guys who have pretty much openly, you know, their backgrounds, by the way, are comedy. It's being truthful as a guy. It's saying, you know what? I'm a guy, and I'm going to tell you what your issue is because, girl, I mean, let's face it, most women are crazy, you know, and really don't.
That's what they say. Yeah, I've heard that.
There's actually, I think, a lot to that. It's like, I'm a dude, girl. Like, I would much rather have a pair of dice in my hands, a Jack Daniels, a cigar, and a football game on than put me near a mall. Seriously. I will break out in a rash if you put me near a mall. And I get the whole...
Did you say break out in a rash if I put you near a mall?
I'm kidding. It's like, dear God, I'm so not... I just dragged...
Oh, my poor husband. I mean, we were out shopping last night, dress shopping for the Shorty Awards in New York, and he is the best shopper ever. But
who
he
is?
Doesn't... Oh, yeah, my husband is such a good buddy. And we go out shoe shopping, dress shopping, grocery shopping, you name it. He is such a good shopper. And, you know, we've been married forever, and he still goes with me, and he doesn't gripe. He, you know, he actually enjoys it. He's like, hey, he's holding up shirts going, this will look good on you. He's a sweetheart. And the ladies, their jaw dropped last night. They were like, that is a good guy.
How long have you been married?
14 years.
Wow. That is a man
yeah.
who has trained well.
Oh, well, he is. Yeah.
My husband's more like a woman when he shops than I am. I mean, he takes forever. He tries on 6 million different things, tells me, you know, what does it look like? Does it look good on me? I mean, I go in, I power shop.
Yeah.
I pick something up, I walk out, I'm done. He's like forever. So everybody is so different.
Yeah. You know, the mentality of relationships, and I think that part of what happens is we see in the media these celebrity couples and the power couples and the relationships on television and what romance is supposed to be. And, you know, just last night, I think it was on Nightline, they did a special about marriage proposals and how they're getting bigger and grander, and they did a big special on it. And there's actually people who get hired to plan. Yeah, it's really
flash
someone spent $40,000 on a marriage proposal. Like, that's insanity. But what happens then is women who are kind of, I think, more conditioned, the idea of, like, I just want to find a guy and get married and be a princess on my wedding day. And I never dreamt of a wedding day. That wasn't where my head was. There's a lot of girls who want that. And
I was pregnant on mine.
Were you really?
Oh, yeah.
Was it a shotgun wedding for you?
Oh, yeah. I was 3 months pregnant. Just saying.
Well, I don't know what to say to that.
I didn't know that.
Yes, you did. Yeah.
And that just brought things
married.
To a halt.
Yeah, no, it was a beautiful wedding. And we were it wasn't a wedding because I was pregnant or anything like that. I mean, we knew I was getting married, and the dress was just had to be just let out a little bit for baby number three. And, you know, it was, you know, I was divorced and remarried and, you know, all this stuff. It was a pretty whirlwind right there. Not everybody is perfect.
No, and it has nothing, that doesn't even have anything to do with perfect. It just has to do with...
No.
People's lives go in different directions, but there is this overwhelming sense in the media of the whole idea of romance and what weddings are supposed to be. And I mean, look at how huge the wedding industry. How many wedding shows are there on television, for God's sake? There's the wedding cake show, and then there's the there's the bridal party show, and everything is around this. It's just at you. And I think what happens is, It puts guys, I think, in a bad position. I feel bad for guys sometimes about this stuff because it sets this bar that's almost unrealistic. A lot of times I'm at events or parties or, you know, I hang out with friends, and there's this overwhelming sense from women who are 30, 30-something, if they're not married, they get this level of desperation. And what I find, and Katie, I don't know, I mean, you could kind of speak to this from the therapy standpoint as to why people can't just be okay with who they are. People think they have to change. And
is that from watching, do you think that comes from all of our media and our news?
I think
all
so.
Of that, or is it, Katie, what do you think?
Well, you know, from my perspective, if you think just biologically, fight or flight, we're all about fear, we're about connection, we're about love, we're very complex, but those are bottom line in who we are as human beings that separates us. And our insecurities are very real. We have our fears. And what the media is really good at is playing on some of those issues and placing like we were talking about this morning, how the talk shows are putting on people who are controversial, who are fighting each
even
other
fight.
On.
Oh yeah, we were talking about
fight.
That whole mommy thing, you know, with
right.
Everybody
and see, that is people. Oh. That's the media taking people's fears and putting them against each other instead of making a choice to put somebody up there who's agreeing to disagree calmly, quietly, respectfully. They're choosing to put that up there, and it's a lot of times if we stepped back and said, you know, I don't need to be insecure about my choices in finding a mate, but we choose to be. We choose to listen to our fear, and they play on it.
Have you ever seen one of those news shows where you tune in and there's like seven boxes going? It kind of looks like you're going to have a Brady Bunch episode.
Yeah.
And then you mistakenly listen to it, and everybody's talking over. You think Brady Bunch. I don't know. I'm programmed to go Brady Bunch.
Well,
oh,
you
cool,
think
let me
Brady
listen.
Bunch.
Yeah, I do. But then I my ears perk up real fast, and I generally flip the channel because everybody is fighting. They're talking over each other. They're disrespectful to one another. They're screaming. It's wild how they do that. Randy, where do they get all of those different people for the comments? You know, for commentary.
Well,
those are
guest experts, you know, I mean, that they're finding for whatever topic it might be. And it's various people that are, you know, either known in the blogging community or in the news community, and they bring them in, you know, to speak on these topics.
Intentionally to draw controversy?
Yeah,
or?
I mean, yes, okay. Because that's good television. Look, it can be very real. And, yes, it just happened with ESPN the other day. Where one of the commentators, someone didn't like what he said, and he actually got into a physical fight after the show and then got suspended. But so we're talking about real people with real opinions. But I watch Good Morning America. That's my morning show.
Yep.
I absolutely love Dan Harris, the legal guy.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they bring on, her name is escaping me.
So, oh, Nancy Grace.
Nancy Grace, yes.
Nancy
yes.
Grace.
Two of them come on to present different points of view about a legal issue, and they will get into it with each other. And sometimes you can almost tell that they're kind of on the same side, but let's try and find a fight anyway.
Yeah.
And I love how Dan Harris sticks up for himself and how she'll sometimes just be like, well, listen, Dan, you don't know. And it's television, though. You have to remember, TV is about entertainment, no matter what it is, no matter what show it is. There has to be an entertainment factor. And that's why when you've got the entertainment news shows,
wait, can
it's
I stop
even
you there
amped
for one
up.
Second?
Hmm?
Is okay. Let me ask you that. This was the biggest question I had about this show today. Is TV entertainment, or have we made it that? And wasn't some of it supposed to be to actually inform you, perhaps of like a danger or a weather event or a war happening or something like that? It seems like it's all mixed.
Well, yes, but the change that's happened over the years with television is that programming has become truly
programming. Okay.
And if you go way back in the day when you had three channels and you were able to get the news and news of the world, it wasn't about what celebrity couple just broke up. It was about what was going on in your local town, or it was about what national news was happening. But as TV has changed, as the world has changed, as media has changed, and this is where it gets interesting with the change in the dynamic of the marketplace for media. Twitter, Facebook, these are now considered legitimate resources of information. And what what happens with viewing and watching television and shows, it's called a multi-platform experience. What happens now is chances are you've got the TV on and you're on your computer and you're on your phone.
Yep. Okay? That's me and American Idol right there.
Exactly.
Did you see them sing? Did you see them dance? Always.
Yeah, and
yeah.
you're interacting.
Yeah.
On, look, when the debates were happening, the political debates, I couldn't keep my focus between the TV and what Twitter was happening because, you know, because the people I follow on Twitter are typically either comedians or who just crack me up. These modes of communication have become now acceptable forms of legitimate resources. If you watch the news, they're saying, tweet us at ABC News. That, really? Really? We should tweet you what we think? Because Twitter is now what's considered a resource.
Well, yeah. Just this morning on Headline News, you could tweet your bedhead. That's,
you could
that
tweet
was
your what?
The big, your bedhead. You could tweet pictures of your hair waking up in the morning. And I'm like, this is a news station.
Headline
you to,
News.
Yeah,
tweet your bedhead.
CNN Headline News was tweet your bedhead. But, you know, it's like, is that really news? And she did a great job this morning, Robin Mead. She said, this isn't really news. We're just having some fun. And so she did a really nice job of clarifying that they were just kind of goofing around with us. But I, considering that on, you know, shortly following were some, you know, Biden announcements on gun control and the president overseas and things like that, I'm not quite certain what the order was supposed to be for news.
Where bedhead fit into that?
Yeah, I'm trying to say it politely because I love Robin Mead, but I just wasn't sure where it went.
Well, what's interesting is the goal now of shows and programs. It's no longer just about can you tune in and watch a television show. And what happens on the network side is it's no longer about them being interested in buying just a TV show. When I pitch shows at the networks or have a show, I can't just pitch a really good show. I have to have the added elements to it that are already built in. I have to say, here's where the social media component comes in. Here's where you're going to be able to get user engagement from this side. It's about engaging people. We're in a place in society where we have all this access to information constantly. I mean, it used to be that you could get in the car and say, I'm going to be in the car. I'm not reachable for the next 20 minutes. Well, now you're reachable. Now,
yeah.
You used to say, I'm flying to the East Coast. I'll check in with you when I land. No, guess what? You can email on the plane.
Midair.
Well, and the positive part, the reason that appeals to us now is we're yearning for community. You know, the small town way of living is what everybody used to be used to, and now we're creating it online because we're all so spread out. We all travel all over the place. So what we're doing is we're creating that human need for connection and community online and in the media.
But that's where the value system, I think, gets distorted insofar as what is real and what's not. I already am at a place in my life where I get who I am and what I'm about. But people who are not sure, and it's the women who are, what am I doing wrong? And I don't have a husband. What am I doing wrong?
Well, I think it's even younger than that. I think it's, you know, I really, for this conversation, I really took my four boys and some of their friends and my husband and so forth and my mom and a couple of my brothers and sisters and said, what do you think of this? And their comment was that they almost divided the shows, and I said, well, some of these don't fit into your division, but here's what they said. They said there are some shows that are on TV that where the host or the show they really seem like they're making fun of people. And then there's a whole host of other shows that are more reality based, but it seems like they said harmless, sort of where, you know, everybody's leaving that show going, you know, smiling, or what might not have necessarily been educational or the most informative thing, but nobody's feeling slammed, bullied, or anything like that. But my kids all said, every single one of them, and I took each one of them aside separately and asked them this question. They weren't in the same room. I said, what show on TV bothers you the most? And every one of them said Teen Mom. I don't know if that's the name of it. They said the show about Teen Mom. Why is that on TV, Mom? Why would a show like that be on TV? And I just really didn't have a great answer.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's in the news today. One of the top headlines on Yahoo is that Teen Mom star has had a DUI on top of it. And, I mean, Katie?
Yeah, I know. Well, it's a social commentary show. And that's what a lot of these are. They're social commentaries. They're asking us to talk about something we're really uncomfortable with. And we can choose to watch it, and we can choose to think, okay, what's wrong with our world that teenage moms are going through this? And as a result, a lot of programs are developing for teenage moms. I don't necessarily agree with putting it on TV, but some of the things that are happening are positive and some are negative. And so a lot of times these shows are bringing out in the open what we wouldn't have talked about before.
You know, in addition to my family and, you know, friends and so forth, I put a question out there this morning, what shows do you watch on TV? And I said, can I use your name on air? And Lynn Cross said, yes. She watches Kelly and Michael, The Chew, Dr. Oz, and Ellen. I have no interest in E, TMZ, Jerry Springer, or any of the shows that focus on stars gone wrong. That's not news to me. Putting their antics in the spotlight, in my opinion, only makes their behavior seem more attractive to tweens and teens that are trying to figure out how the world works.
That's pretty accurate. I'm not going to.
Well, you know what?
That's a pretty good post.
I think that's a pretty good post, but I remember when Ellen came out on TV and what happened. I remember that show. Well, I am so thrilled to death that now it's on TV. We love Modern Family. You know, it's sometimes it takes that kind of a shove in your face for people to start talking about issues they're uncomfortable with.
You've got these shows where great characters have been created, but the characters are played by actors and people who are going to go and do something else, too. And there's now this conflict in the media that then gets really blown up with, you know, oh, young Disney star is suddenly doing drugs. Like, okay, well, you know what? Because they're on a certain show doesn't mean that they're not an individual person that's separate from that character. And that's where I think for kids it gets somewhat confusing, because kids idolize various celebrities. And look, even as an adult, we idolize people. I mean, please, if Prince
really
told me to walk to a bridge and jump off, I'd do it because
that,
Prince.
Well, but that is such a good point right there to remember that in all of this, I think almost whether people are on reality shows or not, behind that, you know, that might be all good acting. It's probably scripted. Even if it's a reality show, it's probably still scripted. I don't know. But that to remember to off when the cameras turn off, it's still a real-life human being with thoughts, feelings, a life, relationships, a family, perhaps parents, kids, whatever, a dog, a cat, a bird, a hamster. You know, who knows? And are we judgy? Is our society really judgy? Like, can you believe they did that? Can you believe they're on that? Do you think part of this is TV trying to get us to judge?
Yeah, you know, I got asked this question because I feel so compelled by this. Is respect boring on TV?
Yeah. We're asking you, Randy.
Boring?
Answer all those questions, okay?
Well,
I'm curious. What do you think, Katie? Let's say you brought back Little House on the Prairie right now, and you made it, you know, the 8:30 show. Would it be popular? I have no idea. Would people like, sorry, not enough violence, swearing, sex, drugs, rock and roll, and party on? I have no idea.
Well, you have to remember, TV is a reflection of the times.
That's, yeah.
So what does happen is, I think it does become, there's a fair argument to be said, does life imitate art or does art imitate life? Is society becoming more open about discussing things or becoming more bold and brazen in their behavior because it's seen that way on television? Or is television just starting to put on what's really happening in everybody's, you know, home and backyard? I think it does raise that question. But
Do you think it's, you know, that's kind of like, you know, the what which came first? Katie, what do you think? Do you think it's TV first? You know,
oh,
TV?
I think I think every generation, I mean, I work with 90-year-olds up in oncology, and it fascinates me that, you know, they're saying the same thing. Every generation says this. Every generation asks this question. Are we becoming more disrespectful? Are we becoming, every generation has said, oh, those kids of our day, you know, we never used to blah, blah, blah.
It's true, isn't it?
It's true.
It seems like. But, you know, are we heading down a... Are we heading down a path we can't recover from, where there's absolutely no boundaries, no respect, or no anything? Or do you think we always have that?
I think we always have it to a degree because we're human. I mean, if you look at the philosophers who've talked about humanity, like Nietzsche and all the older, I mean, any group of philosophers will struggle with good and evil. We all have good and evil. We all have dark and light. We all have those two parts of ourselves. And so what happens is, because of our intelligence changing and our awareness and our, I mean, we're evolving all the time. We're getting smarter. We're using more of our brain. We're developing more parts of ourselves, and we're learning how to be more expressive. And I think all of that plays a part. So that's why all of our generations, every generation, ups the ante a bit in how we show our discourse. My kiddo said last night, I thought was very, very poignant. She said, we were talking about the issue of celebrity, and she said, boy, Mommy, I really feel sorry for celebrities. They lose their privacy, and we judge them all the time, and we watch them, and they can't even be human. That's what a 10-year-old said.
You know, it's a very, very difficult thing for celebrity. And being a manager and, you know, working with talent for years, it's not easy when talent, a lot of talent doesn't, some don't like to look at stuff that's online. They don't like to read the comments. They don't like to hear stuff. They are so scrutinized under such an extraordinary microscope. And especially when it comes to female celebrities, like, oh, my God, did she gain 3 pounds?
Yeah, I think I would be a disaster in the cellulite department. No one would like the back of my thighs, boy. Holy cow.
I get it from my friends every day. Some of my friends are like, geez, Randy, you look tired today. Like, why? No, but it's a business. And that's what people have to understand. Showbiz, the word biz, is the key element to that word. And it just... That's how it goes. It's what makes the world go round. These people are famous. You follow them on TV. You find out that they're in a movie. If you like them, you go pay a ticket and you go see that movie. And it's a business. So part of their job, if you really think about it, there's a job description to being a celebrity. And that means always look good, always do this, always do that. And they have responsibilities for their job, just like any other job that one would get hired for. And sometimes they forget that. And sometimes they think, well, I don't have to abide by those rules.
Or I'm going to prove it. Like, I'm going to appear. Like, some of the biggest posts or magazine articles that get the most attention is somebody without their makeup on.
Yeah. Oh, don't get me started on that one.
Oh,
don't,
my gosh. Did you see them? They went out in public. Randy, did you know that we went out in public without our makeup on for a jog? Oh, you know, I didn't know the last time you had to put your hair extensions and heels on to go for a run.
You know? I always say that I might have small boobs and small boobs,
say
a
that.
Big ass, but they're all real. And the thing is, I'm not a big makeup wearer, so at night if I go out with somebody, when you see me in the morning, you're going to pretty much see what you get. It's not going to be a shock.
So, you mean the wig isn't going to be on the end table?
No. But there are women who, between the layers of makeup and the fake eyelashes and the hair extensions.
We have to touch on this, everybody listening, because there's this whole part of what are you seeing on TV or in a magazine that's real or not real, or who's airbrushed, or who's, you know, I have a picture of me that I have no idea whose arm that is on my body. It's not my arm. Whose arm is on me? I still want to know to this day. Whose arm is that? Because it is not mine. And it is the funniest thing. If you see my arms are gymnastic and muscular. This is the skinniest, best arm ever. And it isn't mine.
But does it look good? That's really what we're after
great.
Here. Well, then there you go.
Way
it's
bigger.
Really not that much with guys. But the thing is, you know, and it comes back to this whole thing of all of these relationship advice things. And my Steve Harvey thing, I think that what he does is great because he does say things that are very direct.
Oh, yeah.
And I do find, look, I don't know if either one of you, do you, either one of you watch shows like The Bachelor? Do you watch the show?
I used to. Yeah, I used to. And I watched it for a while, and my husband and I would watch it. And we watched it because we were just intrigued.
Exactly.
But it was just intriguing to us, the whole concept. But then it got catty, and we just didn't like that. So we just stopped watching it.
The thing about that show, and again, I'm a big, like I said, I love scripted programming. Give me a great script any day. But I will watch these reality shows, not only for the fact that they are just purely amusement to me, but seriously, like, I think to myself, I am not that bad. I am not her. I am not that girl who's crying because I don't understand why he didn't want to talk to me that day. Like, I don't get why this is the standard of what girls think they have to be. And it bothers me because I've gone through a lot in my life to get to a point where I say, you know what, I am what I am. I think what I think. I kind of feel what I feel. And either somebody gets on board with that or they don't. But I'm not going to suddenly have to change everything about myself just to get some guy to like me or figure out why can't I get a guy. But the behavior aspects and the stuff that when Greg Barron did the whole he's just not that into you and the book The Rules and what Steve Harvey does, I do think what it brings is some concept of establishing self-respect for yourself. Because how many times really are you going to let someone lie to you? How many times are you really going to keep texting and go, why aren't you answering me? Why aren't you answering me? And then, he's not answering me. Sometimes a non-answer is an answer. So let's just move on.
And all that like that is, yeah.
But that's the thing. And, you know, and Elizabeth, you know, what you were saying before is where's the female voice to that? Because I hang out with guys. I like talking to guys. I have a guy mentality. And they tell me these stories about girls sometimes where I find myself saying to them, oh, how do you not see this? So it's kind of like my counter to he's just not that into you is kind of like, she's psycho, why can't you see that?
or you know, digging around for your cash and your wallet or whatever. I mean, I can only imagine what must happen, especially if you just add a layer of fame and an inability to sift through who just genuinely loves you for you and your heart and your eyes and hair and person, you know, and who you are and act and so forth. That has got to be an incredible field to sift through if you enter into the world of fame and you aren't already knowing, you know, who you know, if you're not already married or, you know what I mean? If you're famous and then you aren't married, it must be very hard to be married or find a boyfriend or whatever, even if you don't want one or need one, like, you know, you're kind of saying here and there.
It brings up, too, if you're not confident in yourself when you become famous. You become famous with this persona that isn't who you really are. And young people, I mean, that whole thing about the young celebrities who become drug addicts or whatever, it's largely because they don't have a sense of who they are and their own self-confidence and their own self-worth. And they numb their pain because they walk into a field that slams them all the time because they're not good enough. And I think the whole piece of that is don't go into anything without confidence. And if you don't have confidence, figure out how you can get it. And don't get it externally.
Yeah, because I don't think any amount of, you know, younger person or anything is going to fill that void. That void's got to be, or wound or whatever, it's got to heal. Because that certainly isn't going to add pain, I would think. Don't you think,
Katie?
Well,
that also comes around to the shows that are on TV that kind of, I don't know, they glamorize the idea of getting
older
involved with
man.
People who are in power positions, even if they're married. You know, it's the affairs, the, you know, again, back to Scandal, my favorite show, sleeping with the president.
I have to watch this.
Oh, God, it's so good. But, you know, it does, you think, well, if I had the opportunity to sleep with the president, I mean, who's not going to do that?
I would
know, there's
not.
A lot of people that would say it's just
I
wrong no matter what.
Yeah. Would you really?
Would I?
Yeah.
If the president's married, that's just a whole no. Because that's too.
And
that's
if you're
too
married,
big. The president
no.
is too big. That's a little overwhelming. If
Katie,
it was a
would
single
you?
President, then
God no.
Single and it was a single president. It was just because of the president. Would you sleep with the president?
No, God no, no.
Oh, there I
just can't even imagine it. And
Andy,
I just can't even imagine being in that world.
Presidential.
No.
Let's just go back to that for a second. Presidential.
What if he's not nice? What if he's not a nice guy, Randy?
Leader of the free world.
I don't care.
Does that...
I don't care how much money he has, what he drives, what if he's a meanie?
What if he's good looking, though?
Doesn't
Who cares?
Matter.
I still wouldn't do it.
I
got
to go with the heart. The heart, the heart is the whole drive.
Wait, single,
Sorry,
unattached
I don't care.
President.
No, I am
You're
so
no.
that way. You could
oh,
make
man.
Me 18 and him 50 or and rich and driving a Ferrari and whatever, and I still would not do it if the guy was a jerk. Never in a million years. Don't care. Don't care. I'm so serious. Katie knows me, don't you, Katie? I wouldn't do it, would I?
Yeah, and I wouldn't either. I can't
what
even imagine
celebrity?
Coming near
now,
him.
What about celebrity? Though? Who's your celebrity crush?
I have two of them. One of them I can't say, and the other one is Hugh Jackman.
Why can't you say?
Well, because I'm not going to say. But one of them, I think Hugh Jackman is really a lovely human being. I mean, I really do. I think he's talented. I think he's smart, gifted, probably very sweet. But who knows? Because I hate saying who I have a celebrity crush on because you don't really know them in person. Kind of no one unless you really know them.
But you don't have to. That's the point of the crush. It's just your whole concept of them.
Yeah, I mean, I'll tell you mine. Mine is Richard Gere.
And I
love the work. I love what he's done with Buddhism. And, I mean, he's not only a beautiful, attractive from the outside, but I love what he's doing on the inside. So I feel like he's given us a glimpse of the internal person as well. And that's part of why I find him attractive.
So if Richard Gere comes along and is like, hey, Katie, how about you and me go out, hang out, spend some time? You'd be like, oh, no, I can't.
No, I
boy, that puts you right on the line. I don't know.
I bring my husband. I just can't imagine.
Okay, wait, that was a whole can of worms right there. Oh, God.
But sometimes opportunities are there, and it's about the journey in life sometimes. You got to go,
right,
you know what?
Right.
So
that's
going to
be a story for
Katie.
Me and one other person to know, and that's where it ends.
Who's
but
your
you know,
celebrity crush, Randy? Who, okay.
Oh, well, my future
husband. But...
My future husband is currently married, and his name is Ben Affleck, and that's going to change.
That's going to change. You're so cute. Yeah, he's pretty smart.
I got to say, I love me some Ben Affleck.
I'm going to just check time here for a minute. Katie, do you have time to talk news stories with us for just maybe 5 minutes?
Because sure, 5 minutes, yep.
Yep, because sometimes the news stories are slanted. Maybe there's an opinion behind them. You know, you have no idea what's going on. But I know one that we were talking about, the three of us, was about moms using drugs to cope.
Oh, yeah,
and,
that story about the whole Xanax mom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't even know where to go with that. I read that, and I'm like, you know, that's a really – it was about wasn't it about women with postpartum depression using Xanax? That was kind of the gist of it, right, Katie? I can't remember everything perfectly.
Yeah,
but...
and to me, I don't get the controversy. Because,
yeah.
I mean, if you're depressed and you're depressed to the point where you can't function, you're biologically depressed for whatever reason, probably if you're postpartum, you could definitely say someone's biologically depressed. Why not take a medicine that's been proven to help you for a short period of time to get through it? Because otherwise, you can put people, including yourself, at risk.
At risk, yeah. Well, it was written kind of, Randy, you had a different take on it because it was, what was it? It was written like, everybody's on Xanax. Woo-hoo,
yeah,
that's how we cope
piece,
with our kids. Yeah.
The way they delivered the piece was very entertainment-oriented, and it was like, you know, moms are turning to Xanax, and it was this piece about how it's the new wave, and it kind of presented it as the new trend. And to me, I think, you know, and Katie, you could answer this better, but does somebody who's not necessarily prone to that or doesn't really need to go, hey, that's not a bad idea. You know, and does it encourage people? Because, look, I'm not a mom. I just enjoy being medicated, but I'm just saying, does it bring up the idea for someone else that would never have thought of it, that it seems so perfect? Oh, my gosh, it's the perfect solution. I should just be Xanaxed, and I can go with my kids.
That's the
better.
Way it was written. I'm going to speak here for a second, because as a mom of four, and I have delivered, been pregnant, and I've actually had six pregnancies, four live births, and all four boys and everything. And I can tell you, with each one of those pregnancies, I gained anywhere from 40 to 110 pounds. And on one of the pregnancies, I had the most serious, horrible bout of postpartum depression ever. It was the worst. It was so scary. I ended up getting over it. Like, it was at that period of time where people didn't really know what postpartum depression was, and there wasn't really like, here, have some Prozac or here, have some Xanax. But I'm telling you, it was so bad that I probably would have taken that had I known about it. But instead, it went undiagnosed. Nobody really knew what was wrong. I was crying, and my new baby was beautiful, and I was like, oh, God, the world's wrong, you know, kind of thing for about, I don't know, it was a good solid 2 weeks. And my mom came over and she said, this is hormones. This happens. You know, this happened to me. I'm here right with you. Your husband's right here. Your child's beautiful. Go get some sleep. You're overtired. And as the hormones process through, we're going to check you again in another 2 weeks. But there was no doctor involved or Xanax or Prozac or anything. And it made me scared when I got pregnant for the fourth time. I'm like, oh, please, not that again. Because it was scary. Katie?
Yeah, I mean, but you were not suffering from the same level of postpartum that others are.
Some people don't.
And sometimes they're really at risk. And
and
you had a supportive family, and you had a mother who did that. Well, everybody's complicated, and their lives are complicated. So, yeah, physiologically, they're complicated. And so some people need medication, some people don't. And to answer your question about, well, would this get people out there on Xanax for the hell of it?
No, I hope not,
because you're going to really regret it, because all of any kind of psychotropic or any kind of psychological-related drug has side effects. You don't want to take them unless you need them. But if you need them, take them. That's the bottom line, and take them with somebody who knows how to prescribe them, because there are side effects, and they can be dangerous side effects. And and that's the bottom line with any medication, anything.
Yeah.
It's take it responsibly, and don't take it if you don't need it. And all this stuff about, well, you know, it reminds me of the ADHD kids and the drug, the Ritalin, the whole Ritalin thing, and do they really need it? Well, some of them do, some of them don't.
Yeah.
Bottom line.
Katie has to go, because Katie has
to go.
Hospital duty.
Okay.
Thank you, Katie, for joining us. Lots of love to you, and we really both appreciate you being with us on the show, and so do all the listeners.
It was a great conversation. I loved it, and I'm just going to watch E.T. with a very different lens tonight. Anyway, we'll see you guys.
All right, take care.
Bye.
All right, bye-bye. All right, and what were you asking?
There are some shows, by the way, that portray difficult kids. And really, I like the show Parenthood on NBC. I don't know if you've ever watched that.
You know, it's actually one of my favorite movies, especially with the flashcards.
Well, the
movie.
The series has just been so terrific, and it really deals with, I think, a lot of great kid issues and how people can handle stuff. And I think it kind of circles back to, is life imitating art or is art imitating life type thing?
Mm-hmm.
All of these things have gone on in people's lives for all of time. People have done drugs for all of time. People have had marital affairs for all of time. People have been gay for all of time. It's just now it's being put on TV. It's just being talked about. And I think there's something that's really good about that. I mean, you know, years back, child abuse was never really discussed. It was always the hush-hush, you don't discuss it. Now it's out in the open. And
same with domestic violence, because, you know, I've done three shows in the past month about domestic violence. And it might not be, you know, on TV or anything like that, but, you know, people are actually communicating, whereas that was a super taboo topic.
Yeah, and it was something that no one would even ever admit to being a victim of.
No.
And now people are willing to say, I had this happen to me. Because the more stories you hear, the more you can relate. But then, it comes down to what the media is doing with validity of stories and whether they're really being put out there as, you know, great pieces of advice and insight, or is it really skewed? And, you know, that's where sometimes, like, how this kind of started, too, is there's so much that goes towards the ideal of someone's life, that ideally you should have a partner, you should get married, you should have children. But there are people who don't subscribe to that concept and who just want to live their life and have a career, and if I meet a guy or a girl, I meet them. If I don't, I don't. But,
well, some people subscribe to that concept, get there and, you know, do a 180, you know, and sometimes that's part of divorce and things, discovering that wasn't right.
Yeah. I think it takes a lot of courage to step up and get divorced.
Yeah.
It's more courageous to get divorced and end a situation that is not good for you, and especially if you have kids. It's so much more courageous to do that and get out of it. And yes, it's going to be difficult for a while, but to get through that and move on to
that
two
was so
better
hard.
Lives.
That was people, so hard getting divorced with kids. I had two kids and got divorced. That was so hard. Oh, and it was actually, as far as divorces go, and, you know, we've talked about this before and we won't go there, but, you know, it was actually a pleasant divorce. Mm-hmm. And, you know, the kids weren't yanked around or anything like that, and it's a good divorce. But, you know, that is a courageous move.
It all comes from the parents and how it's handled. And I think the reflection of some of this on TV, you know, again, I'm coming back to my favorite show, Scandal, because
you're gonna watch this. Yeah.
She's totally, like, in this total love affair with the president.
Is the show, like, what are they going to do about it and how they get through that, or are they ignoring it? Or
no, it's a big part of that, because
I gotta
she's, like,
a
super
show,
powerful,
yeah,
like,
seems
fixer,
like, what's
of all
happen?
Things. Oh, you got to watch it. Like, she fixes political, like, nightmares. But the real hook to the show is that we found out through the episodes that she actually helped rig the election to get him elected.
And
when
does the wife
on,
have a clue?
What?
Is the wife clued in at all?
The wife knows.
Pregnant wife?
And then the wife
oblivious?
Knew that they were having an affair. So then the wife says, you need to stop seeing her. And the wife said, if you keep seeing her, I'll destroy you. So he stopped seeing her. But then, of course, he started seeing her again.
Yeah,
so
that'll never work.
But the thing is, what's so great about this show is, It buys into the idea that happens with a lot of women. Look, there's a lot of women, there's a lot of guys, let's just face it, guys and girls alike, who get involved with people who are married, okay?
Mm-hmm.
There's two ways to go with it. Either you're involved with it because you know that it's not going anywhere. If the person says, look, I'm married, I'm not getting divorced, but I want to have something on the side, okay? Some people are very happy to participate in that, and they know exactly where they stand. Then there's the ones who say, I'm married, but I'm getting divorced, I'm unhappy, I really want to be with you.
Here that you go. There's about 10 more things, too. I always think Facebook should have a status called Married But.
The thing I love about this show is, and how they've portrayed this relationship, is they've actually made you believe that these are the two who really want to be together and should be together.
I don't think, the one thing I don't think you can do is, I always think that when you hear your heart, you got to listen to it. There's a reason. And that's more serious, of course. I know we're joking around and everything, but when your heart is talking to you, saying "I love this person" or whatever, that makes your ears perk up. You got to pay attention to that. And it could be a crazy ride, you know, following your heart. And sometimes, you know, your heart
can
leave
you. But it
could
deceive you. Because then what about the person who says, "I'm going to get divorced," and then they don't?
Yeah.
That's the thing, and that's what's happening with Joe. He's asked her to wait for him, and then she's like, I don't want to wait for you. And she actually, like, got engaged to someone else, and he got so mad. It's like, what are you getting mad about? You're married, and your wife is pregnant. How are you mad that she moved on?
The judgment on, you know, your the judgment on top of the whole wrongness of it all. Yeah.
That's why the show has such controversy, too, because it's making this type of scenario
acceptable.
We're gonna,
I'm going to watch this, and we'll do another show just
on Scandal.
Watch Scandal. Yeah, we'll do like a half an hour show just on Scandal and chat about it. But the other thing we wanted to talk about, and I need to keep it on time here, Facebook as the didn't you read that, Randy? Didn't you see my post?
I did not see your post. I'm sorry.
You know what I mean? Didn't you see my tweet? Everybody assumes that you've read everything that they've posted. I mean, I have actually missed events. I posted it on Facebook. I can't believe you're not here. I'm like, I didn't see it. Where was the written invitation or phone call? Hello? You know, I'm like, do you realize what my Facebook looks like? There's a million events in there or whatever. You can't process through that, but also using Facebook as an announcement. For example, like, like I did this the other day. My cat passed away. It was horrible. And I said, I'm sorry, everybody, my cat passed away. And but it wasn't a press release.
Right. It was you posting to your community of people that the cat passed away.
Yeah. But it wasn't like, here's, AP, pick it up.
But
this cat passed away, everybody. It wasn't.
But when you're a celebrity of greater proportion, that is what they're turning to. And, interestingly enough, look, the whole Tiger Woods thing, they said it as they had posted it officially to Facebook. Well, that meant that it was an official thing.
That's
back when Frank Sloan, who I represent, when his nephew Sage passed away last year, it was just tragic for the family. And the press was all over it. And this was something that is a private family matter. It was a big tragedy. And this had to be handled appropriately how Sly's family wanted it handled. So Frank was not making any statements. Nobody was making statements. Frank, being who he is, he's very connected to his fans, and everybody was posting on his Facebook their sympathies and all that. And I think it was like a couple days had gone by, and Frank wrote something and said, thank you all so much for your outpouring of support, and this has just been a really difficult time. He didn't realize by doing that he made a statement to the press.
Really? So who would ever think of that?
Exactly. And
here I am in that fray too, trying to gently send him an email or something saying, hey, thinking about you, whatever. And I stopped and I'm thinking, boy, I never thought, wow, he's getting bombarded right now from everyone, press included. It didn't even dawn on me. I'm just thinking of him as like a person there crying and so forth or whatever.
And he was devastated. But he felt compelled to thank people because he was
him.
But not realizing that when he did that, the press picked it up and said, Frank Stallone makes a statement about his net. And it's like, no, he didn't. He didn't make a statement.
He didn't, and I didn't make a statement about my cat. And
right.
It's really interesting, though, how Facebook and Twitter, I think, a little bit more so. Like, here's our official tweet, we're dating.
If somebody changes their relationship status on Facebook, that's the validation. If you're going out with somebody and then they go and change their status to in a relationship, yes, he is my boyfriend. On Facebook. Like,
or if you defriend somebody, it really means we're not friends anymore. Is that where we're going with that? Really, that's what that means?
It's such...
Wow, I am so old.
Personally. It's like,
I am so old.
Why did you unfriend me? And it's... I fall into it. I got upset. Somebody, disappeared from my friend list. I was like, why did you unfriend me? What's up?
Yeah, I get it.
Why would you do that?
I saw a thing today, and somebody that I was following, they're like, my ex-wife sucks, and blah, 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 blah. I'm like, wow, you posted that on Facebook, huh? That's trippy.
It is a device that people use. They think that they can have interactions, quote, unquote, between me and you, okay? And it's not. It's public.
See it.
And people get short-sighted because what's happening now is the same way that in the court system, emails constitute legal documents, because if you may not have a contract with somebody but you have an email exchange that outlines the terms of a deal, that can be submitted as contractual terms. What's happening now too is, and we saw it now in that recent Ohio rape case, that the texting was admitted as part of the case, and I will guarantee you that in the moment that whatever texting was going on, no one was sitting there thinking this is going to be submitted in a courtroom.
No.
And people fall short of that. And look, I love reading online stuff. I'll follow certain people and be friends with certain people. I love to see what comedians post. Sometimes comics will get into big fights with each other. Sometimes it's really interesting. But there are people who you forget. If you are a parent going through a divorce.
Of course, and you post that on there, your kids can see it. Everybody can see it. I mean,
that is
holy, wow.
What opposing spouse is not going to take that screen grab, take it into court and say, this is how their mother speaks
online.
I actually
sent the person an email saying, you know, you might want to take that down and here's why. But anyway, we have 90 seconds left. What a cool show. Thank you for suggesting this as a topic and doing this as a show. I appreciate every email that we've exchanged.
Thank you for doing
every
it.
Phone
this
call,
fun.
Every text. It's been really fun.
I think we have to do a whole show about Scandal.
I think we do. I'm so watching that show now, and I can't promise you I'm going to like it, but I'll do it for you. All right. Lots of love. Thank you. Thank you to Blog Talk Radio again. You can tweet them at Blog Talk Radio. Randy Siegel is Randy Siegel ENT on Twitter. You're on Facebook. If they can find you, they can Google you if they need to find you, right?
Yes.
Okay. And thank you to Dr. Katie Eastman as well. And take care, everybody. Have a beautiful day, and we hope you have enjoyed our show. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the best.